requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about Cable Community Radio's open meeting policy is also available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Board meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The KBOO Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of the month, starting at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
This year, 2018, KBOO is celebrating our 50th anniversary. Throughout 2018, we'll be featuring many of the gems from KBOO's archives on our second stream, available exclusively through KBOO's website, kboo.fm/historystream. Our first special stream will launch this weekend, January 20th, coinciding with the opening of our exhibit, 50 Years of KBOO at the Oregon Historical Society. We'll feature such speakers as Margaret Mead, Bell Hooks, Dick Gregory, John Trudell, early computer hacker Captain Crunch, and audio coverage of the 1968 Democratic National Convention, as well as much, much more. You can find this stream on our website at kboo.fm/historystream.
Good morning, Cascadia. Stormy Andre here at your service, your news service, that is. Today is Thursday, January 18th, 2018, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, Community Sanctuary Solidarity at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm. All this and a meteor? Does America have a meteoroid crisis all set to roll out? Here, look, we've got a meteoroid crisis. Rally round the flag, boys, and don't look anywhere near North Korea. Don't look. No, don't look. Weather today: showers, highs around 48, and showers overnight, very likely. Yeah, lows around 44. And for Friday, Friday morning, cloudy, highs near 44, and overnight, lows around 39. Saturday, dawns bright and rainy, highs around 45, overnight lows 39, and pretty much the same pattern for a few days, all the way through and all the way around to Monday morning. Well, today's guest is needs, as they say in the game, needs no introduction. Fred Oberlander is back. The minute I heard tax fraud and the name that sprang immediately to mind, and also investigative reporting into irregularities on a grand scale with regard to Robert Mueller's intrepid investigation into the Trump family financial hijinks. So good. I want to say good morning, Fred. Thank you very much for being back with us today.
I'm happy to be here.
It's the only voice that wouldn't just annoy me to pieces on this. Fred Oberlander has done extensive research into this, and with his partner Stephen Lerner,
Richard Lerner. He will be very mad at me.
I bet.
If he doesn't get in here, and his wife will make him sleep on the couch. So, you know.
And I myself too share culpability. I on the subject of culpability, Robert Mueller is really wading into some serious financial fraud, tax evasion territory. Donald Trump has been the go-to guy for every single corrupt Russian, Eastern European, and let's just go so far as to say the Al-Quds Guard in Iran and other potentates around the nearer Middle East. So that said, what is Mueller's game here? Do you see what approach he's taking? He's really played his cards close to the chest. Either that or what he's doing hasn't been reported. How do you see the approach at this point? Because I was surprised that it was on the new mainstream news at all, and on the other hand, I was surprised it hadn't been on the news months ago when you and Richard uncovered so much of this.
Well, the first thing is, I am not here to defend what Robert Mueller is doing or to attack it, because I don't know what he is doing, and he isn't here to defend himself. So between my not knowing and his not here to defend himself, I'm not going to get up there and say anything good or bad. What we do know is that a whole bunch of people working for him have known for 15 or 20 years about all of the crimes and money laundering that Felix Sater has been engaged in. And unless they are deaf, dumb, and blind, and probably willfully so, must have known the taint onto Mr. Trump. Your audience probably should, if I haven't once before, I apologize, they should understand that when they read the word money laundering, it doesn't mean what people think. It does not only mean hiding the fact that the money involved came from illegal activity. That's what everybody thinks. The proceeds of a drug ring, the proceeds of illegal chemical operations. Sure, hiding that is money laundering, but it's also money laundering just to spend it. If I make $10,000 or $20,000 as a drug dealer and go out and buy a car with it, the mere purchase of anything over $10,000 with the proceeds of crime is also money laundering. So when people engage in money laundering, they do it not only to hide that the money is dirty, but they do it because just spending dirty money can put them in jail for 20 years. And it's a very big deal. Tax fraud is one part of money laundering, obviously, because if the proceeds came from activity, you didn't report the income and so on. I'm going to do something very slightly different that you may not have expected coming, which is I'm going to refer anybody who's listening to your show who wants to follow up on this to a company called Bayrock Natural Stone. Do you recall ever discussing that with me?
Yes.
I'm sorry?
Yes,
okay.
Indeed.
Now, Bayrock Natural Stone, you'll find online as one of the largest contributors to Democratic causes during the period in question of the Obama and Clinton era. For example, they are a top fundraiser in the 2012 campaign for Obama. He, of course, being the Obama that would then go on to appoint Lynch and all of those people who know all about Felix Sater and Bayrock. Bayrock Natural Stone basically makes countertops. All right, they make granite countertops. The guy running it does not make a lot of money and is not a highly educated man, and I don't know him and I speak no ill of him, but he has not got 7 graduate degrees. But somehow he managed to donate, according to reports of campaign records, $650,000 to the Obama campaign. And I could show you significant documentation showing that that money was being siphoned out of Bayrock itself, the real estate firm, and sent over to Bayrock Natural Stone improperly, to put it mildly, and people inside Bayrock who were aware of it were screaming that it was wrong. So apparently we can also add to the mix that Bayrock was used. There's serious reason to believe, in my professional judgment, that Bayrock was also used not only to siphon money into New York real estate and Donald Trump, but to siphon money into the campaign coffers of at least Obama and God knows who else. And so if you really want to worry deep state, I would recommend that you worry not only about what Robert Mueller is investigating, but the fact that the people that he may, that Comey may have protected, people like that in the Democrat administration, are virtually certain to have received the benefit of Russian money laundering along with Donald Trump. See, you called me. I don't know what you do. I can't listen to your show most of the time. So what I'm trying to tell you is, if you are on a Donald Trump kick, oh yeah, sure, Donald Trump, I could prove to you in 5 minutes he knew. He had to know. But if you're asking me, does it go beyond him? Sure, the Democrats are filthy dirty with it too. Some of them are. So what you really want to do is ask yourself, why is Bayrock Natural Stone managing, the guy that runs it, the young guy running a company that makes countertops, showing up among the people who, like Terry McAuliffe and people that you would actually know about, as some of the largest donors to political campaigns in the country? In other words, that's another form of money laundering. Andrew Tobias, for example, is on that list. You know who he is, the author. But he can afford it. Nobody would question that. So when you're asking me about what do I think Mueller is up to, I really don't know, because it isn't just Donald Trump that's bad. A lot of people are bad. Not everybody, but a lot of people are bad. And if I had to guess, I would say that they're sitting there wondering what in the hell they're supposed to do to make it look like they're investigating everything, but don't quite come up with enough to make it impossible not to prosecute.
What about Citibank? Excuse me.
Oh, I know. You want to know about Citibank? Yes, Citibank decided that these are suspicious activities. They did their job. They reported it. Of course they were going to report this as suspicious. All that money comes in coincidentally timed with an election, coming in for uses that don't seem to match anything else. Yeah, why are contractors being paid $2.4 million for work that's vastly beyond? You understand that, right? Part of it was $2.4 million that went to a little teeny contractor who apparently insists it was legitimate, but it's much bigger from what I understand. But that's happened in the past, hasn't it?
Except that Citibank is the conduit for a Russian presence in this country, and I would imagine that anyone, Mueller or whoever, looking at the paper trail at least, or trying to construct a paper trail, would want to look carefully at Citibank. And
yes, but haven't you noticed banks and bank executives don't ever get prosecuted?
Yes, there is that. But neither, for that matter, does Felix Sater. I mean, who does get prosecuted out of all of this?
The little people get prosecuted. Little people get prosecuted. The people that they think can't fight back. I don't mean to divert what you called. You wanted to know about money laundering at Citibank, and the answer is we know that the computers at Citibank flagged it. I can tell you, mm-hmm. I don't do business for Citibank. I do business with J.P. Morgan Chase. I have correspondent relationships with law firm in Tel Aviv. If I send a wire of a small amount of money to a law firm in Tel Aviv to handle a matter there in Israel, in a court in Israel, I send them a wire, I get a questionnaire come out of the bank from anti-money laundering, we'd like to know what you're doing. So yes, it really is true that even at the $100,000 level, a suspicious wire transaction going in or out of a country on a certain hot list is going there. It's entirely par for the course. I'm not surprised that they flagged it. But I'm not sure what you're asking me. You're asking me, gee, isn't it unusual that they would flag something like that? considering they're supposedly in the middle of it? No.
Oh, no.
Because you see, the $100,000 level or the $300,000 that they flagged, that means it was some people in operations making $50,000, $150,000 a year who take their job seriously. If it had been $150 million, they never would have flagged it. If they're dirty, it would have gone through some back operation. We never would have heard about it until there was a settlement with a U.S. attorney for a $1 billion fine. Am I confusing you? I don't mean to. What I'm explaining
No. So the problem is having so very little time to talk about things that are by nature pretty complex. The Trump family's financial empires are complex and deliberately, it would seem, deliberately so. Any investigation?
I understand that, and that's why I'm telling you that if you're asking me what Mueller is doing, all I can do is tell you that it would require dozens of agents and charts the size of a wall to track everything. Either that or some mind that would be positively frightening in its unique ability to by itself understand everything and how it all connects together. If you could ever find such a mind, I would strongly recommend you put it on your show once a month. But other than that, that's funny. I'm allowed to be funny once in a while.
It would seem unstoppable. In any case, but yeah, you and Richard have done a tremendous amount of work
One last thing. I know you're going to cut me off soon, so you have to remember one last thing. It is not clear what you do with a president who has committed crime before he was elected, because the real truth to this is there have been so few impeachments of anybody in history, something I think, 30 in history, and that includes judges and every other official that can be impeached. There are so few of them, we have very little to go on, and it isn't clear whether or not Congress could or would do it for crimes that predate an election, but it is clear that no court would interfere with it, because the Supreme Court has held, your listeners should know, that Rehnquist wrote an opinion, as I recall, in the case of Judge Nixon, who was impeached about 20 years ago for tax fraud, I think. I'm not sure, but you can look it up. He was impeached.